Thinking tonight of the Philistines in the Bible and how they were gloating. They were happy because they had a big party, a big gathering to make fun of a champion of God's people who they had captured. You know, the devil loves it, and the enemies of the Lord love it when one of God's people, especially a champion, is defeated and goes down and is taken captive by the enemy. You know, I think of deer hunting season, and people get all crazy going to get buck, and they try to get deer, and they're just looking to get that trophy buck, you know. And I can't help but think that Satan is hunting for you. There's hunting season out for God's people, and there's hunting season out for soul-winning Independent Fundamental Baptist believers that go to church, go out soul winning, share testimonies, and we need to be aware of that. And these people were having a party because they were celebrating the defeat and the humiliation of this man, because time and time again he had humiliated them. Time and time again he had defeated them. And you punch the devil and he will punch back. And you see that in the New Testament with Saul and the missionaries and how the devil just went after them. And we're seeing that with the movement in our country with delivering us from captivity, and how Donald Trump, they're trying to assassinate him over and over again. They keep trying. And this individual, finally they got him. Finally they captured him. Finally, they had him tied up, and they were making fun of him. And you say, well, how did they do it? Well, they did it with money. They offered a lot of silver to a woman. They did it with money, and they did it with a woman. And the key part of it, as far as she asked this champion, and you know by now his name is Samson, what was the secret to him winning these victories? And she got in close, and he kept opening up to her. And you watch out who you open up to. You watch out who you talk to. And she got him to open up and share all these things. And he finally told her that, I've got seven long locks that signify I'm a Nazirite and I'm separated to God. And if those locks are shaven off, I will lose my strength and I'll be just like any other man. Well, he thought that she was his girlfriend, his confidant, but she was his enemy. Watch out. Sometimes those that are close to you could be your enemy. You know, the Bible says in the great tribulation that's coming that the people that will turn believers in will be their own families. It'll be the ones nearest to them, and they will turn them in, and so watch out. And she did. She heard about the secret of his strength, and she promptly got the Philistines for silver so she could get money to cut off his locks, and promptly his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And they came upon him, and he went out like at other times, expecting the power of God, expecting the supernatural strength, and boom, his power was gone. The Bible said he wist not. That means he didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. But he should have known. But he didn't even know it. He didn't realize it. And I put up a warning to you. Satan moves to take you out. Satan moves to bring you down. And we need people that can warn God's people not to fall into the devil's trap where you're not able to be used of God. And lately we've been talking about people that have fallen into the devil's trap. And one time they were being used of God, and now they're mocked by the enemies of God. And And so these people, they were celebrating the great victory. They had burned Samson's eyes out. They had bound him. They had a big party with thousands of people in the upper deck, thousands in the lower deck of a temple, a Philistine temple. And Samson was the butt of their jokes. And Samson, without his eyes, asked a young man to guide him to the two pillars that held up the upper balcony. And in the upper balcony, it contained about 3,000 men and women, Philistines, who sat to gloat and to mock over Samson's weakness. And they praised their god, Dagon. And they were just gloating and mocking Samson. And they just loved it. And when God's man loses his Holy Ghost unction, then the enemies of God will gloat, mock, and be bold to do evil things. I also can't help but think of Donald Trump and how at this debate, it's now it seems like there's some strong evidence that Kamala Harris got all the questions given to her ahead of time. And she may have had a Bluetooth device in her ear to boot. And on top of that, she memorized all these speeches to go with these pre-known questions. And then people turn around and they try to mock Donald Trump. But I'm just saying that the devil is a dirty fighter, and the devil knows how to bring you down. And when he does bring you down, he will mock you. And so this was going on, and they were mocking and they were gloating. And when God's man or woman loses Holy Ghost power, Satan will mock you. The enemies will mock you. They'll be in the place of power, and wicked people will get in the place of power. Once God's power is removed from the church, wicked people get in the place of power, and they mock us, they gloat over us, and what they will do is they'll come out of the closet. You notice how homosexuals have come out of the closet now? You notice how they have the gay pride parades and all this, and you notice how the Hollywood movies and television mock Christian values and cut down people that are, and make them look like fools and make them look like fanatics. But you see, when God's power is upon the church, the people of the enemy are afraid. They have fear when God's people are on the march. And what we need is God's power. That's why Samson, when he was being mocked, he said to the young man, just guide me to the pillars. And there were two pillars, and he put one hand on one pillar and the other hand on the other pillar. And he prayed this prayer. He said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. Only this once. You see, he'd had his fill of mockery. He'd had his fill of the Philistines cutting down his life and his ministry and all of that. And he had given them opportunity to mock him and to mock his God. He had done that. But listen, God, he prayed to God that God would strengthen him only this once. And you know what? God looked at their mockery. He saw that this man was being chastened. He had lost his power. And he heard the prayer of Samson once again to receive power to defeat them one more time. You know what? I feel like that's where we are tonight. I feel like we need God's power here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. That one more time we can punch at the devil. That one more time we can see a revival in this country. That one more time we can see the enemy stripped of his power over our government. And they're controlling our government right now and in captivity. And sometimes God's people don't even seem to care about it. They don't seem to care they've lost power. They've lost, so many churches have lost power. They don't have the right Bible. They don't have the power of God. And we need the power of God that one more time we would see the enemy defeated. And you know what? God heard Samson's prayer. I hope you've been praying for that. I hope you've been asking God for that, because God heard Samson's prayer, and he received strength. You know what? The Bible said he received strength, and he began to push on those pillars, and divine strength came at him, and they literally started to move, and he pushed them out of the way, and the 3,000 Philistines came right down and killed the thousands below and killed Samson, and Samson became a type of Christ in doing that, because when he died, he killed more of the enemy in his death than he did in his life. And what I'd like to do is give you, just like Christ, when he died, he defeated more of Satan than he did by his miracles and by his teaching in his life. His victory was in his death, and he was a type of Christ in that way. But I'd like to take a verse tonight and preach on it. Look with me at Judges 16, verse number 28. It says this, "And Samson called upon the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And I think of Charlie Ware, and this is the name of my message. God did it then, Charlie used to say. He can do it again. He uses men. And the name of the message tonight is, God did it before, he can do it once more. God did it before, he can do it once more. And you know what? I've been teaching in Sunday school, and all the teachers have been teaching in Sunday school through the book of Acts. And I've been praying as we have been doing that God would give us a movement of the Spirit like in the book of Acts. And that movement would be a great movement. And we have heard of the great revivals in church history in the past here. We've heard about these great revivals. And even here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church, in the last year, we have begun to see a movement of God, a soul winning movement of God, and the power of God, and people getting saved and baptized. But by the way, likewise, whenever you see that, you see the devil begin to scheme to get advantage, to weaken you away from the blessed days of the Lord's presence and of people being saved and baptized. And he wants you to not have the power of God. He wants you to be weakened by backslidings in your life, by compromises in your life, so that you might be dominated by besetting sins and weighted down by weights that hold you back. And have you seen the enemies of the Lord perhaps growing stronger of late in your life? Have you seen a recent dry spell in the new converts coming down the aisle, perhaps, and getting baptized? Have you had a desire to see the power of God restored, to get more people truly saved and living for the Lord? Well, then you need the performance that Samson experienced here in Judges 16, 28. And I want to say to you on the authority of God's word, Judges 16, 28 says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." See, that strength had left him. He'd hoped he had that strength. He went out to fight the Philistines, but he had compromised with the enemy one too many times. He had lost the hair that signified his Nazarite vow, and it was God's time to remove the strength from Samson, and he was defeated. But he's saying, God, they took out my eyes. They're mocking me. Give me one more time your strength. Can I say God did it before? He can do it once more. Let me say, number one, because of your devilish defeats. Look with me at verse 19 through 21. I'm talking about God can do it once more because of your devilish defeats. It says in verse 19 of chapter 16, "And she made him sleep upon her knees." She made the man of God sleep upon her knees. "And she called for a man And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. I'm saying God did it before. He can do it once more because he sees your devilish defeats. He sees that. And by the way, the devil knows when you have the power of God working in your life. The devil knows when you are hitting him and hurting him. And he, just like these Philistine rulers, knows when you're robbing him of captives and taking them out of his kingdom. And they're now in the Lord's army and they're serving the Lord. And it enrages him when he sees these things happening. And if you're giving him trouble, he will trouble you back. And the Bible says it, and it says in verse 5 of chapter 16, "And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her." You say, "Unto her?" Yeah, it's always a woman. "And unto her, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver." I just heard that 1 ounce of silver is worth over $31 right now. The silver is going up. The dollar is going down. And they said, "We will give you, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver." She was just counting that money up, you see. And Samson has given his heart to this woman. And Satan knew his weakness, and he used this woman against him and got him to be taken down by this woman. I want to say to you, God knows your weaknesses. And Satan knows your weaknesses. And Satan studies you out, and he knows your weaknesses. I remember as a young man, I'll never forget it, I've shared it before, I was in Bible college, and I had not seen so many Christian girls, and I was in my freshman year at Bible college, and I said to God, I said, "I want a girlfriend. I've got to have a girlfriend." And that became the dominating, most important thing to me, was getting a girlfriend. Can I tell you, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is you getting in the will of God and getting consumed with God and his will for your life. But no, that wasn't my most important thing at that point. And I asked God, I said, you know, give me a girlfriend. And he gave me the desires of my heart. He gave me what I wanted. I wanted a girlfriend. I got a girlfriend. And it was the daughter of a guy that was over the building and grounds. And I got to eat food every Sunday in their house, and it was really nice, but I didn't have peace in my heart that this is what God wanted me to do. And I remember going with this girl, I got involved with this girl, and I remember coming home and I sensed something's not right with God. Have you ever had that happen? You knew something was not right with God. This was not God's perfect will for my life. See, God knew who my wife was. He already had her set up. And later on, my best friend in college, Charlie Ware, he told me, he said, "Bloom, just get caught up in the will of God, get consumed with the will of God, and that girl that God has for you, she will get caught up in your tailspin as you're moving forward with God." He sensed there was a lack of power in my life. I was not where I should be at that point in time. And so I remember leaving this girl's house one night and troubled, and I opened the Bible and the scripture came out to me. Proverbs 31 verse 3 says, "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy strength to that which destroyeth kings." What is it in your life Maybe it's not women, maybe it's something else. But Satan knew Samson's weakness, and he had just the woman there for him. You know her name, Delilah. And that was a real woman. And he got involved with her and thought that he could, listen, turn God on and turn God off. He could have the power of God and then put this woman first in his life. And this woman didn't have the right priorities. She didn't love God. She wasn't on fire for God. She loved money and she loved her family and the Lord's enemies, but not Samson. And Samson misunderstood, and he gave his heart to this woman. And what I'm saying is that he lost God's power. And we need God to give us the power of God back. That's the most important thing that we need, not just to go soul winning, but beloved, but to go with the power of God. Read about it in the book of Acts. See what happened. I'm saying that's what's needed more than anything else. Guys have their Bible college degrees. They get out of Bible college and they learn all this. They're all excited to go into the ministry, and they're going to go into the ministry, and they wave their Bible college degree in the devil's face, and he goes, ha! And takes them down. And even great men of God that have known the power of God, like Samson, even great men of God that have served God, I have seen them go down. And it's always a woman so often. I've seen them go down. And Satan knows where you're weak. And he knows how to get to you. And he has a lot of patience. Amen? You go down to my office and you'll see a big deer head down there with antlers on it, and I got him the last day of buck season. And some guys said, Rev, we're going to help you get this deer. And it was in a farm, and there was a Christmas tree place there where you couldn't carry your weapons. And they said, you just sit here on the edge of the Christmas tree farm, and we'll lay down our weapons. You have your 35 Marlin with a scope, and we'll lay down our weapons for you, Rev, and we'll push some deer out to you. They're hiding in there. And they went right next to each other, right through this Christmas tree farm, and I just patiently waited and waited and waited. It was cold, and I waited and waited and waited and waited, but I was ready. And all of a sudden, out comes this big buck, almost 8 points. I put that scope and squeezed off and got that buck. I got his head in my office now. I'm saying Satan is patient. He knows. And a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there, and he gets you to that place where he can take your strength away. And Samson didn't have it anymore. He wist not, the Bible said, that his strength had departed from him. I think about protect yourself at all times. You know, like the referee in boxing says, protect yourself at all times. Protect yourself at all times. I was talking to somebody about Commonwealth Baptist College, and they have a 6-inch rule there that guys and girls can't be together, 6-inch rule. I was just thinking, I was visiting the other day, and some teenage girl was up in the bedroom of a guy, and she came down, and before I didn't think about it till later on. I thought, that ain't good. That ain't good. She's up in a guy's bedroom. There's nobody up there with him. There's no chaperone with him. How foolish it is. You have to protect yourself. Listen to me. You need to have a place where there's accountability when you're alone with the opposite sex. And so many guys are foolish, and they don't protect themselves at all times. Don't have some kind of accountability that can look in on you to make sure that you're not cheating when it comes. Listen to me, when it comes to the opposite sex, because it's a little at a time that the devil will get to you, and you need to protect yourself at all times. I know Brother Zukowski was praying for his family, and he said he wants to protect his family as much as he can. But he knows the devil, and he knows how sly the devil is. And he's wise to be like that. Because the devil is powerful. I remember Tom Williams, the great evangelist. He remembers he used to sneak into youth groups of Baptist churches and deflower young ladies, and that was his goal. He was filled with the devil, and he was a young man doing that kind of thing. And he told us in the dorm at college how he did that, and how he had daughters, and he used to, in tears, go into their room at night and say, "Oh God, please protect them. Oh God, please protect them. Please protect them." Because you see, God did it before. He can do it again because he knows how the devil gets in and how he can defeat us. And so look at verse 20. It says here, Judges 16, I'll read it, verse 20. Notice that it says, And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Boy, what a place to be in. Have you ever been there where you didn't have your spiritual strength, where you weren't spiritually ready, and you were just in that place and you didn't have your power? Listen, that's not the place to be in. God knows when you're there, and he knows how the devil gets in, and he can do it. He can do it again in your life to give you back God's power. But here's what the Bible says. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." You know what? This church is being blessed to God. We've seen some good things happen in this church. He would just love to get to somebody in this church that's doing something for God and get you into some bad sin. Bring you down and have people mock this church, mock us, mock the preaching, mock everything. He would love to do it. He'd love to get his trophy buck. Do you know that? Samson was his trophy buck, and the devil was so happy. He'd like to get one of you men, you married men, you single men, you teenagers. He'd like to get you, and that's why the Bible says be sober. You know what be sober means? It means be free, listen, from any intoxicating influence. It could be from the opposite sex. It could be from some kind of substance abuse that you're doing. It could be, too much leisure, too much sleep, too much sports, and getting into that so much that that becomes the main thing in your life. And we're in that sports season when there's a plethora of that going on. What is it that keeps you away from prayer? What is it that keeps you away from the main thing so that you are not under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God? You're not really filled, listen to me, with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The wine, the alcohol, that can influence you, and you're no longer filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's not just wine. It can be sports. It can be all manner of other things so that you're not filled with the main thing. The main thing is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy. That's a command, by the way. We're to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he says, be sober. Be sober. And then he says, and by the way, you know who wrote that, be sober? Peter. And the next thing he wrote, listen, be vigilant. You ever heard of the word vigil? You know what vigil means? Vigil means to stay awake and pray. It means to watch and pray. There's a watch in the night from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., 9 p.m. to midnight, midnight to 3 a.m., and 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. By the way, that's when the morning starts, at 6 a.m., amen? And some people don't know that. They don't know the sun rises early. How many of you know the sun rises early? Okay, good. I just want checking. But, people that get up before the sun and pray. Get up before the sun, get in the Word of God. There are other people that, they're getting up, but they're into, where, I don't have it with me. Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. All this kind of stuff. Not free from intoxicants. Not staying awake to pray. So many distractions. And so you need to be vigilant and be awake. And Peter is the one that's writing this in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Think about it. Remember Jesus said, Peter, pray with me. John, pray with me. James, pray with me. They were the leaders. What were they doing? Sleeping. It's right, Bobby. Sleeping. And not staying awake to pray. Have you been missing prayer time? Have you been distracted and intoxicated with things that keep you from being vigilant? Oh, you need to be sober. You need to be vigilant. I remember Pastor Ware, he was very aware of what was going on. And when you're walking with God, you are aware of what is going on. And he said, Bloom, right now we're walking on eggshells. Be very careful. We're walking on eggshells. And you know what? When you're spiritually alert, the Lord makes you aware of the devil. Do you think Samson was spiritually alert? Oh, no. He was laying on her lap. He was relaxing. He was having a good old time with her, not realizing the devil was getting closer and closer and closer. And boom, he was going to have his strength removed. I'm saying God did it before. He can do it once more because the devil wants you powerless. And God wants us to have his power. And the Bible says this, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now listen, if you're to be strong in the Lord, that means you need to have conditioning. You need to be in shape spiritually. You know, a lot of people are not in shape spiritually. They're not conditioned. They're weak. And what you need to do, maybe you need to do some push-ups. Amen? Do some push-ups. Do some of this. I'm talking spiritually. Do some walking and, you know, walking in the mountains and doing some aerobics. Doing some weightlifting. Now, I'm not talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. Many Christians are spiritually not in condition. Because it tells you in the next verse, listen, put on the armor of God. Well, what is your armor of God? You can't even hold the armor of God if you're not spiritually awake and alert and filled with the Holy Spirit and praying. You can't put on the armor of God. Now, you say, well, what's the armor of God? You have to have the belt of truth on you. I have a belt on. It goes around here. And that holds everything together. Take that belt off and whoop, we got trouble. But anyway, I'm saying the belt of truth. Well, what's the belt of truth? That is the Bible. You need to know your Bible. You need to know it and to hear it preached and to hear it taught. You should be in church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Sunday school, Wednesday night. You should be in your Bible every day reading it and studying it and meditating in it. That's what the belt of truth is. It's all the balances of the belt of truth in the Bible. And the sword of the Spirit, which is individual scripture that you need when you need it to fight, that hangs on the belt of truth. So that's part of the armor of God. You need the breastplate of righteousness. What's the breastplate of righteousness? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust my own heart. I dare not trust the sweetest friend. I lean wholly on Jesus' name. Why? Because the devil will attack you, saying, you must not be saved. You're no good. You're this. No, I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Have on the breastplate of righteousness so that your feelings don't weigh you down. Some people are all hung up on their feelings. But the breastplate. It's a breastplate and a breastplate. And it will protect you when your feelings are not. You don't lead with your feelings, beloved. I lead with the righteousness of Christ. For every look I take at myself, I take 10,000 looks at Jesus Christ. You need to have that breastplate on. You need to have it on at all times. And you need to be spiritually, you know, acquainted with the armor of God. But then he says you need on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. You wouldn't believe the shoes I have on tonight, Brother Z. Brother Z saw my shoes this morning. He said, you got some good looking shoes, man. And I did. And then this afternoon, I decided to take a walk in the mountains. And I put my old ratty shoes on with paint stains and all this on. And I took my walk in the mountain. And then I went to get redressed to go to church tonight. And I got everything on that I needed to get on. And I came into church and I looked down and I got my old shoes on. I mean, they look horrible. Now, I'm telling you, they're just ratty, ugly. But, you know, I don't have on the shoes that I need to have on. And a soldier needs to have good shoes on. I used to always tell my kids, you know, don't follow your mother. She lived in Florida. She never puts her shoes on. I said, in Pennsylvania, you got to have your shoes on. And so you need to get your shoes on. And what are the shoes? The preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? That when you are saved, you need to know you have peace with God. The shoes are not the peace of God, they're peace with God. That means that God is not my enemy anymore. God is not my enemy. And I am reconciled to God, and He's reconciled to me through Jesus Christ. He sees me in and through Christ. I have peace with God. He's not against me. Now, when I was a young Christian, I used to serve God. I'd be doing something, and I'd feel like God doesn't like me. Oh, God's my enemy. And I could be pushed around by the devil. No, your shoes help you to stand, right? You don't slip around. You know, put socks on, have somebody slide you around. You know, you need to have grips on you. And now I know I'm reconciled to God. He's not my enemy. And you need to have on that shoe. And that helps you to go out and march on the gates of hell and tell others about Christ. So they can have peace with God. Peace with God. That's the shoes. Do you understand the armor of God? You got to have it on. Samson didn't have these things on. He wasn't really armed and equipped. And then you need to have on the Bible says, or you need to take up, the Bible says, the helmet of the hope of salvation. And that's to be on your head. And what does that mean? Sometimes things look dark in your life. Sometimes things look difficult in your life. But the Bible says, hope thou in God. Who is the help of thy countenance, my God? I might be down, it may look down, but I am having a favorable, confident expectation of good from the future. Why? Because I have a God who has delivered me, will deliver me. I know He will deliver me. That's my hope. And Jesus is coming back and He's going to deliver me. Even if things get really bad in this world, and they will eventually, He's going to deliver. And to have hope and to be hopeful. And we need that when things are down. If we don't have that to protect our head, we're going to faint, right? You're going to faint. You're going to go down. You're going to collapse. So you have to protect yourself. And then above all, you have to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the offensive weapon where you take the Scripture and use it against the enemy. And then you need the shield of faith. And what will the devil do? The devil will try to shoot at you fiery missiles of doubt so that you doubt God and doubt if He's really good. Why will these things be happening to me? And if you have that shield of faith up, you'll be able to stand there and say, I don't understand these things, but like Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. That was the shield of faith. And he's in control. I'm just saying that you need to have the strength of God to put on the armor of God, and you need to have the armor of God. Because, you see, if you don't, you're going to suffer pain. Look at verse 21. It says, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Oh, the pain that you'll go through if you don't have the strength of God. If you've been serving God and taking shots at the devil, oh, he will take shots back at you, and he will put you in bad pain, and he knows how to do that. And the brass that was on him, he had these fetters of brass on him. That was an indication. Brass in the Bible means you're under judgment. that he was under God's chastening judgment. God had allowed the enemy to do this because he had given the devil a foothold. Listen, don't give the devil a foothold. God did it before. He can do it once more because you have had devilish defeats in your life. Number two, because you have had his divine presence in your life. Look at verse 22. It says, "Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." Now, she shaved his locks off. It was a woman. That was his weakness. And she got his locks shaved off. But the thing of it is, he wasn't totally bald. The thing of it is, his hair began to grow back again. You ever had a haircut and your hair grew back? That's a good thing. You can get your hair cut and your hair grows back again. I tell my wife every so often, she's the only woman that cuts my hair usually, and my wife cuts my hair. One time my daughter made me get a haircut for our 50th wedding anniversary. I went and got a woman to do my hair. But normally I had men cut my hair unless it's my wife. My wife does it for free, so she gets to cut my hair. But it grows back. Now my father-in-law, on the other hand, he just had a couple of little hairs growing right out of his bald head. And he always said, my sons, he loved my sons, but they were, what did he say they were, Kathy? A violent lot, I think he said, a violent crew. But anyway, one of my sons, my father-in-law, had this prized couple hair, strands of hair in his head. He'd been bald. And my son took it and ripped it right out. And it was two strands of hair. It's like Jack Hiles used to say. He had a couple strands of hair, and he'd grow it out and wind it around and weave it and paralyze it with hairspray, you know. But he had a couple of strands of hair. My son ripped it right out. And it never grew back again. So thank God that you might lose your strength, but God can give you your strength back again. You might lose the axe head's power, but God can help sharpen that axe head once again. God can give it to you back. You know, when the sons of the prophets were swinging the axe to build a bigger school for the prophets, the axe head fell off, and the prophet said, "You go right where it fell off, and you'll get it back." The Lord is able to bring you back to where you lost your power. And you see, Samson kept losing his separation over a woman. And so it happened again. But God was fixing to give him his power back again. And maybe you have lost certain things in your life. You've lost opportunities due to past sin. You've lost a sense of God's presence. I want to tell you, hope in God tonight. He can give you that back again. He wants you to have the power of God more than you do. And he wants us to have his power. And the problem is, he knows where we're selling it out. It may be a sin that does so easily beset you. And you keep going back into that sin. And you keep getting back into it. And you keep losing. You keep on losing. Or it may be a weight. It's not sinful in itself, but you're compromising and you're not doing what God's best for you. And so you've had God's divine presence, but you lost it, and God wants to give it back to you. Now, you have two things that you can count upon to get God's presence back. First of all, Romans 6 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." Now, this is not talking about water baptism. This is talking about if you're saved, you've been immersed into a union with Jesus Christ. And because of that, you are immersed into Christ's death. And he says, you're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In other words, he's saying you've been baptized into Christ, so when Christ died, you died with him to what you used to be outside of the presence and power of God. You died. That old life died with Christ. And now since you're joined to Christ, when Christ rose to a new realm and to a new relationship, you are now in that new realm and that new relationship to God. And you're alive to God. So here's what he says. He says, you're alive to God. So do this. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, you're dead to the realm and rule of sin. You, as a new man or woman in Christ, you're dead to that. You are buried, and you are now alive with Christ. Where is Christ right now? He's no longer on the cross. He's no longer separated from God's love and forsaken by God. No, Christ is never going back there again. He's never going back there. And if you are in Christ, neither are you going back there. That's why the charismatics, they think they can lose their salvation, the Pentecostals. No, you're in Christ. You're never going back there. You say, well, where am I? You're alive into a new realm of God's power. God's power is available to you. Why? Because of you being so good? No, you're united to Jesus, man, and you're alive to God's power. You're alive to God's presence. You'll never be separated from his presence. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? You're alive to his love. You're alive to his power. You're alive to his presence. And another thing you're alive to, you're alive to God's purpose. There's no accidents in your life. Everything that happens to you is with a purpose. He's trying to work, listen to me, he's trying to work to conform you to the image of his son, and you're alive to that. And the Bible says, count upon the fact that you're united to Christ, you died with him, you're buried, but you're risen, and now you're alive to the purpose of God. You're alive to the presence of God and to the power of God in your life. Just write that right there helps you with strength. That meditation helps you with strength. And then, here's the second provision. Not only union with Christ, but here's the second one. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of Christ dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You know what your next provision is? The Holy Spirit lives inside of your spirit. He lives inside of you, and he's working in your life, and you have the presence of the Holy Spirit living in your life to lead you and to guide you and to help you. And, you know, sometimes people are distracted. They're just not listening to the promptings of God's Holy Spirit. He will prompt you, and he will lead you according to the Word of God. And so I'm saying God did it before. He can do it once more because you've had devilish defeats. You've given in to the devil. God doesn't like that. God doesn't want you to be shorn of power. And number two, because God's given you divine provision of his presence so that you can have victory. And lastly, because you have his deliverance promises. And look what it says here in verse 23. Of Judges 16. It says, then the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their God, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. By the way, I couldn't help but think, right before the Republican convention, when Donald Trump was to be nominated, I believe there were people, evil people, that planned that he would be dead. And he just turned his head, and the bullet that was going to hit him went by. That was God's deliverance. And I'm saying, before the election, there are people that would want to take him out. And today, once again, God protected him. You say, who's protecting him? God and your prayers and angels of God that are set to protect. I'm saying that you have promises of protection and of divine deliverances. I can say so many times in my life and my ministry, the devil has tried to take me out. He may have knocked me down, but he never knocked me out. And you know why that is? Because of God's delivering me. God keeping me in this pulpit. Now, I'll be this next month in this pulpit for 47 years as a pastor. And I'm just saying that I have that protection from God, and you have that protection of God. Why? Because God doesn't like it when the enemies of Satan gloat over us. Amen? I don't believe it that God's people are crying out to God and saying, look at what's happened in America. Look at how God's enemies are gloating over America. You know what? You need to take that to God and say, God, reverse that. He doesn't like it when his name in you is being mocked. And so you need to realize God can reverse that with divine deliverances in your life, and you need to look to him for that. And so they praised their God, small g, for they said, our God hath delivered. Boy, I tell you what, I couldn't stand it when Kamala Harris is bragging about abortion and how she cares for women. And you know what? These people don't care for women.
Right.
They don't care for babies. They're murderers. They're wicked communist murderers. You know what they care for? Feeding Baal, an evil spirit. When they abort babies, they are feeding Baal. Hillary Clinton's a witch, and she's gone to the witches in California. And I'm telling you, it's time that we say enough is enough. God, give your people a revival. Deliver your people. Give us a victory. God, we want to win with you. But let's not play games. Let's not be lulled into sleep and just not mind what's going on. Let us be awakened and realize that Satan loves to get us in the power of darkness and mock us. And then verse 25 says, and it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. I truly believe that there would be people that would mock and cheer if Donald Trump would have been killed. They mock and cheer when one of God's men fall and no longer has the power and blessing of God. But I believe God hears our prayers for deliverance. And I want to end with this. Look at verse 26. It says, and Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars. And then verse 27. Now the house was full of men and women and the lords of the Philistines. And then it says in verse 28, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once. O God, he wanted to be avenged. And God gave him an answer to his prayer. Do you think if you would pray that you would be an effective soul winner, that you would be an effective servant of God? Do you think God would be willing to hear your prayer? Oh, I believe he will. If we would pray for revival, that God would give us a revival. If we would pray for God to deliver our country from captivity so that we can get serious and get God's work done, I believe that he would do it. But listen to me. You have not because you ask not. Number one. And number two, you ask and receive not. Why? Because we want to continue on in our own way. We want to continue on doing our own thing. Revival will cost us something. Amen? Revival will cost us something. But it's worth it. It's worth it. I think of Donald Trump, 78 years old. It cost him something to want to save the country politically. But we have a more important mission. We can save the country spiritually. But God's people have to be willing to pay that price. and say, I don't want the devilish defeats. I don't want to let the devil take me captive. And I'm not going to play into his hands. And number two, I'm going to not only not play into his hands and allow the devilish defeats, but I am going to depend on his divine provisions and his presence. And number three, I'm going to expect him to give me divine deliverances because I'm looking to him. May God help you to do that. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. God did it.